following audio is a podcast from Leader Breakthrough, an organization committed to coaching and resourcing the personal development of risk-taking kingdom leaders. For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.
Hey, welcome to the Leader Breakthrough podcast. I'm Patrick.
And I am Terry. We're glad you're here today.
Thanks for joining us. And today we're going to be talking about isolation. And so in any believer's walk with Christ, Bobby Clinton has identified several processing items, different things that God uses to form and to shape us. And isolation is a big one of those. So Terry, could you give us some background on the concept of isolation?
Yeah, you know, processing is one of the key elements to this whole topic of how God shapes us for influence over time, or the kind of the official tagline is leadership emergence theory kind of a deal. But underneath, when you start looking at lots of individuals like us who want to try to live a life that counts, you begin to recognize that one of the tools God uses is actually a time of isolation that he allows a Christ follower to go into, that creates this moment when all of a sudden they are alone, even in the midst of a crowd. Sometimes you hear the word isolation, you think, okay, that means off in the wilderness. No, you can be isolated and totally in the midst of fast-paced, busy life and ministry. You just feel like in isolation processing, you just feel like in some sense you're all alone. And one of the best visuals, Patrick, I've ever kind of heard on isolation processing, you almost feel like that boy or girl in the bubble, where life is kind of going on, everyone else seems to be getting it, and you feel like kind of you are all alone and unable to actually function, and wondering, you know, what is all of this? And those are some of the word pictures around what it means to be in isolation. And what really was daunting for me was to realize, wow, this isn't just me not having an answer, or me being mad at people, or me being, you know, kind of not in touch with God. This is actually a time in each of our lives that God picks up and uses to actually move us forward as one of his followers. So it's going to happen to all of us in our journey. It's going to happen especially, and it often occurs when people are in the in-between in a time of transition. But that gives us a little bit of reference point to what isolation is. And people can be isolated, and all of a sudden when you put a name to it, they go, unbelievable. That's what I'm feeling, and are you telling me it's a tool God uses? It almost actually starts to cause them to lean in versus leaning away from God.
Yeah, so it's a tool that God uses to deepen who we are, to shape deep, deep parts of us. But what does it feel like as we're walking with him in isolation?
Well, here is the one of the big characteristics. Oftentimes, a person in isolation doesn't feel the presence of God. They have actually been used to a rhythm with him. They've been used to relying on him. They've been used to using certain practices, whether informal or formal. They've tried certain disciplines, and it's always kind of led them back to God, and they're able to hear his voice. Well, in isolation, that goes away. And so the isolation isn't just from people. The isolation really is that sense of feeling separated from God. It's unfamiliar. It's very much a time like a lot of people would call a desert experience. So when we talk about isolation, it's not just a physical proximity geographic thing. It actually is a spiritual condition. And that's what's so haunting even about it, if I can use that word. You know, kind of, I used to be able to hear him. I've kind of lost him. What happened? Who turned down the volume? I mean, and everything I try, I'm not getting anything. So that's that sense of a person not just isolated from people, but really that sense where they actually feel isolated from God himself. And And in some sense, that's the thing that scares people the most. And yet, that's the thing God uses to draw us in and deeper the most. So it's kind of a fascinating play on situation. It's not that God is not there. It's not that God doesn't want to speak. It's often about how much do we want to actually hear him? How much do we actually want to know what he thinks versus what everybody thinks, or what the latest book thinks, or what the fad thinks, or what the social media is saying in the last week or whatever. So yeah, that's some of the stuff that surrounds this thing called isolation.
And we will get to the fruit of isolation, but if someone finds themselves in isolation, it's not that they've done anything wrong necessarily,
right?
But how can they recognize it? What can they start to do?
Well, I think the first thing in isolation that you try is do all the things you normally do. When you start to recognize, you know, it's been a while since I've heard his voice. It's been a while since I've felt a sense of renewal. I'm going to jump in and try my existing things, and I'm sure it'll all work out. Well, when you start to recognize that it's not working out, when you start to recognize this is a pattern over time, when you start to kind of hit at the passages and the things that you've been doing and it's not there, I think you ought to at least surface the possibility that maybe God's actually at work at this, and maybe there's something going on that I actually don't or wouldn't recognize unless I stopped. So it's at least one of the first key things is how long has it been since you've heard from God, and how long has it been since you've, in some sense, I don't want to be just subjective, but felt his closeness, and how long has it been since, whether it's in the word or whatever, that you have actually gotten direction from him on what you should do. And those are some of the first telltale signs, maybe something's going on that has to do more with what I call voice recognition. You know, John 10 says that we are his sheep, and it says the sheep hear his voice and follow him. How long has it been since you've heard his voice? And what is he trying to do or say to you if it's been a while?
Well, what kind of fruit can we expect if we recognize we're in transition and embrace the process well? What kind of things does God bring out of that in us?
Well, let me give you two big things, and then I'll give you some categories. How's that? Does that work? Let me just tell you that two fruits of it is oftentimes his two purposes in isolation. The greater purpose is voice recognition. The more direct shaping purpose is he's oftentimes shifting our paradigms, and he's oftentimes sharpening our values. So those are two of the key results of going through isolation processing. You know, one of the phrases I use is what got you here may not be what will take you there. And so oftentimes you're going to have to shift your paradigm of yourself and God if you're going to make it to the end. I'm not talking about liberalism. I'm not talking about going to places that are not of him or his word. What I'm talking about is actually recognizing and seeing him in a new, fresh way and seeing yourself that way. And then when you see yourself differently, that's what starts shaping your values. And by the way, that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is actually aligning our values with his. So those are kind of the two things or outcomes. But in her book, a great book out there on isolation, a gal who I know who, you know, studied under Bobby Clinton like I did, she wrote a book called Isolation, which you can still get up on Amazon. But she says there's, you know, kind of three things that are the fruit of it. One, inward transformation, she says, and that's God starting to reshape your character and take your character to a new place and strip off old things and add new things. And it's really about identity. So you see, you know, remember Joseph, Moses, Paul, all of these guys went through times of isolation in their journey where God started to do a new work in their character. The second key fruit of it, she said, is spiritual transformation. And what she means by that is a hunger. God starts to build a greater hunger for him. God starts to do a deeper work of intimacy with him. He starts to actually cause us to want him more. He builds a hunger. And then the third thing she said is there's a result of ministry transformation. You are able to actually now hear his voice in new ways, follow him down some new roads, and you are actually able to better recognize some of the things he either wants you to do or he has for you in the future. So Shelley basically says inward transformation, spiritual transformation, ministry transformation. Those are three key results from isolation. And by the way, her little book is just that. It's maybe 60 pages long, but it's powerful to explain this whole concept of isolation and isolation processing.
The difficulty of isolation really produces good fruit. And if you're listening to this and you've gone through isolation moments, you know what that's like. And I think it's good to know that God is using it to develop us. And yep. It gives us hope to continue to engage the process.
So
what if we are coaching someone who is in a stage of isolation? Can you help us know what to do there?
Yep. And let me also just give a personal quick story. I think every time God has done a major work to take me to the next chapter, he uses isolation. So he puts me in isolation. And that's really hard for me because I'm a people person. So all of a sudden I feel like I'm disconnected from everyone else. And then it's almost frightening when I start to recognize I'm actually disconnected from him. And that starts building a cry within my heart. God, where are you? What are you doing? And it's that I really want to know. And he's not going to stop from each one of us. Spirit leads us and guides us in all truth. But God, I really want to know who you are, where you are, what you're doing. And that's been the net result of me. But when you're coaching somebody, it's really kind of that. It's one, helping put a label on it that the cries of their heart right now or the things that aren't happening actually have a purpose to it. If you call it isolation processing, it'll be almost them saying to you, are you kidding me? This has a name. So the first thing you do as a coach is actually if you've helping them recognize a pattern, put a name to it. You could be in isolation. Second thing is instead of fighting isolation, and even giving into the fears, help somebody begin to process that isolation. When's it happened? What's it happened? What does it look like to join him in this? What if he wants you just to sit with him? Kind of inviting them to lean into the time of isolation as opposed to keep fighting it. And then the third thing is almost bring up some of the things we talked about, the productiveness of isolation. What is it that God does? And it's almost challenging them that he's doing a greater and deeper work in them to do a greater work through them. What's it look like if we join him in this process of isolation? So, and then I usually say some questions like, if you're coaching them, talk to me about when you think God has grown quiet and what do you think he's doing? That's one set of questions I ask. Then sometimes I say, when you experience isolation in your past, what's happened? How has God used it? What have you discovered? And then finally, another set of questions, if there's one area you think God might be at work going after in the time of isolation, what might that be? And that would be more of a leaning in kind of question and helping them actually get all they can out of both isolation. And then if we're in transition, see isolation processing as part of their way to better understand what God's doing in a time of transition. So those are some of the things I use with people in terms of coaching them. But I think one of the biggest things is putting a label on it. If you can just put a label on some things, sometimes people can go with them. It's when they don't even know what's going on and begin to wonder if this is only going on for them, that's when all of a sudden the enemy sets them up for time of real discouragement.
In my life, I had a period of isolation that lasted a few years, and it was very helpful to realize.
A few years.
I would say 3.5 to 4 years.
Boom. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yep. And so by the way, that's common. So I interrupted him because that is not all that uncommon. That's actually common. So go for it, Patrick. Keep going.
Yeah, so in the beginning, once I recognized what was happening, it was helpful to put a label on it. But also, it helped me to not struggle against what God was doing in my heart, but actually to yield more to him. And not in a way that would speed up the process necessarily, but in a way that would allow him to work deeper in the things that he wanted. So the part where you're saying a person in isolation often doesn't feel the presence of God, that was encouraging because it felt like a dry time. Hmm. And it helped me to know this isn't dry. This is actually, there's a lot going on underneath the surface.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to have a friend say in these times of isolation, I still have this friend, but he used to say, bottom line is God's digging deeper wells. And he's using this process where it feels like there is no water to actually bring more water in. But that in-between moment or that time when he's digging is oftentimes no fun. So, yeah, it's good.
Thanks for joining us today on the podcast. Terry, thanks for sharing about isolation.
Sure.
And we wish you guys the best as you coach people and experience isolation for yourselves.
And don't forget, you can always check out some more of our resources on www.leaderbreakthrough.com. And there are some things that'll help you and continue to better understand how God's at work in your life. So good to be with you. Patrick and I are glad you joined us. We'll see you next time on the Leader Breakthrough Podcast.
For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.